And for 2022, I want us to rally around a phrase. Because part of my job is to make sure that we're all going the same direction. It's maybe the coach on the football team or the play caller. Hey, we're going to run this play so that when the ball snaps, we're all going in the same direction. We're all taking our one steps this year. And I've realized this. I've known it for a while, and I've taught on prayer before. But most Christians don't know how to pray. We know how to tell God what's wrong and beg him to help us. Does that hit home with anybody? I'm right there with you. We're good at that. But do we really know how to pray? To some, only the pastor can pray. Like, you got the bat phone to heaven, we'll call you and you pray, and then we expect you to get us results. You put all the weight on me. Then there's others say, well, I'll pray when there's no other option. When you're stuck by yourself, nobody's there, and you got to, you know, pray, and you're begging God to help maybe fix the mess that you created. But for 2022, I want to rally around this phrase, pray first. That we begin to respond that way in life. That when I get up in the morning, and I try to do this, and I did good for a long time and not so good the last few months, of when my feet hit the floor, good morning, God, or like I prefer, good morning, Father, what are we going to do today? Pray first. Before you go to the doctor's appointment, pray first. Before you get out of bed, before you make a big purchase, do what? Before you go and buy that thing that you're committing for the next 15 years to pay that couch off, right? What should you do? Yeah, y'all aren't really answering that one well. It's pray first. I'll give you another one. Before you send that text message that you've been working on all day long, you should pray. Y'all are starting to concern me now. Before you send that email that tells old so-and-so what you think of them and what you're about to post on Facebook, you should
pray first.
Yeah, that better get real loud. I've seen some of y'all's posts. Y'all don't think I watch, but I do. When it appears and then disappears 5 minutes later, you should have prayed first. Before you post on Facebook, but in every situation, pray first. We're going to build it on this scripture in 1 Thessalonians. The Bible says that, and here's two things. If you want to learn three scriptures, memorize them, watch this. Here we go. You can memorize three full verses right now. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. It's not about you. The Bible says that there's joy put in us even when times are bad. The second part in 17. Pray continually. And in verse 18. And give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's, and I highlighted it for you, God's will for you. You want to know what God's will is? If you go back to verse 17, the Bible says, pray continually. Well, Clint, how do we do that? Because I'm a practical, I'm realist. Because when I read that, I think, am I supposed to just stop living? And like stand in the corner at my house and pray and forget the rest of my life and not go about my job and ignore my family? No, that's not what the Bible says. And a lot of Christians use that as a cop-out. You're not supposed to stop living. But I think we should be very clear that we should pray about everything. Now, before you nitpickers and needle words, like you zero in, am I saying that if you don't pray over your dinner or your lunch that it's not blessed? No. Am I saying you should pray every time you breathe? No. But it should be a part of us existing every day, all day. One version of that verse says, pray without ceasing. Why? Because if somebody was in the room with you, say you work, and maybe you work in a room, there's somebody always next to you. You're in that room, you're in a conversation all day long. Where you go, they go, and you're back and forth. That's the same thing with God. Prayer without ceasing is just a continual conversation with God. You see, you want to know God's will, though. He tells us right there, God's will for your life is to pray. Because this should be true in our lives, that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Amen. To all of us, And thank you for the amens, but let's get real. For most of us, I'm going to say all, most of us, prayer is only happening when we don't know what else to do. When you start your truck in the morning and it starts, you're not praying. But when you turn it over and it does nothing, once you finish calling it names, then you pray, right? Once things don't work like they're supposed to. There's been some mornings we come in here and turn the computers on. It's usually me in the morning because I'm the first one here. And stuff starts flashing and lights start going off and buzzers start. It's not working like it's supposed to. I'm not praying first. I'm trying not to curse that computer that's the, you know, the vein of my existence. See, the problem is we should pray first. It's our first response, not our last resort. But also, the knot of this is we should not act first and then say, God, please bail me out. Prayer should be our first response, but we also don't make an impulsive action and then go, okay, God, now I've dug this hole, now bail me out. I bought this couch, and they let me finance it till 2040. Isn't that amazing? Knowing that the couch is going to be broken and gone by 2023, right? And it's God, now bail me out. Let him give my money back. And that's kind of how we pray. See, now more than ever, and give me an amen or oh no if you believe this, but now more than ever, the world or out there needs some prayer. It's just, I told Melanie, I won't even go into the show because it's a little too, it's too sensitive for younger ears, but we were watching a commercial, and a commercial came on this show that's apparently been on for a few years, and I just told Melanie, it's like we just have, our society has become amoral. Amoral means there are no morals. Whatever you say it is, it is. Whatever you think is fine. Whatever, it's just, there's no moral guidance. And I think now more than ever, even within the church, we need some healing in the land. Amen. We hear this verse in 2 Chronicles that you hear quoted during the National Day of Prayer, and I don't think we really pay attention to it. But it says in 2 Chronicles, when I shut up the heavens so there is no rain. In other words, when God stops communicating with us and lets the earth have its way and the locusts devour the land and plague on the people. In verse 14, he says this, and he says, if, notice there's that thing that has to happen. There's if you do this, not this is I'm just going to do it, but if my people who are called by my name will do something, will admit, now this is going to be hard for some of you, it's hard for me, will admit I don't know everything and I'm not an expert in anything. In other words, God, I need you. He says, well, humble themselves and do what?
Pray.
It's not just enough to go, God, I can't do this, I'm not good enough. It's combined with, okay, God, now I'm asking you to intervene. And look at the second part of verse 14. And then it says this, and, so humble, pray, and look for God. Look for the relationship. Look for the understanding. Look for getting closer to him. And then just stop doing what you're doing. He doesn't make it complicated. Don't do this. I tell my kids all the time, obedience is not complicated. You either are or you're not. Right? Parents, I expect a little more support there. There is no like, well, I took out half the trash, so I'm obedient. No, you didn't take out all the trash. You're not obedient.